If you're new here today, you may be thinking, I thought Pastor Jeff was considerably younger. Well, you are right. He is considerably younger. We are thankful to be here celebrating or remembering 75 years ago, the birth of Branson Bible Church. And no, I was not here at that time. Just to clear the record, I was 2 months old when Branson Bible Church started. So now that we've got that cleared up, let's have a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the remembrance of what you've done in Branson Bible Church in the past, and we would pray that you would continue. We know that you're going to continue being faithful. Help us to continue being faithful as well. We do thank you for this time. I particularly remember at this time also Josh's family, as his grandfather was ushered into glory shortly, not long ago. And so we pray for that family. You encourage them, strengthen them as they go through this time together, that your Holy Spirit will comfort in a way that only he is able to do. So we pray that you will do that. And also we pray that you would speak through your word today as we consider it. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. An article on the front page of the January 29th, 1950 edition of the White River Leader was entitled, Branson Bible Church is Organized January the 19th. And it goes on to say, on Thursday evening, January the 19th, a group of interested persons met and organized a new church in Branson to be known as Branson Bible Church. 14 persons constituted the originating body. That little group of people temporarily rented what was called the Community Center, which was located behind present Owens Theater downtown in what is now a parking lot. That was the Community Center. And they wanted, of course, their desire was to have a permanent place, which the Lord provided in time. Pastor Felton, Leonard Felton, led the group. We don't know how many showed up that first Sunday morning, but we do know they had an evangelistic service that evening, and the article says that 70 people were there on the very first Sunday night. So it was amazing that the Lord did that even the first Sunday that they had services. If we had a lot of time this morning, we'd remember all the myriads of good things that had happened in Branson Bible Church these 75 years. Let me list a few of those, and let me also give credit to where credit is due. I enlisted the help of a couple of young people to help me come up with those events. The first one of those young people is Virginia Ledbetter, who has been a member here for 60 years and is a mere 94 years old. She is our oldest member. And she will probably shoot me, along with Marie will probably do so also for embarrassing them. But Marie is the other young member of Branson Bible Church. She has been a member of Branson Bible Church since its opening in 1950. And Marie is a youngster at 93 years of age. So we're thankful for them. We thank them for sharing some of these events that happened in the life of Branson Bible Church. For one thing, lots of people, young and old, have trusted Christ as their Savior, have lived lives consistent with their testimony in Christ, and that includes a good number of you who are here this morning that fit in that category. We are thankful for that. Another good thing, God provided property that was used that had formerly been owned by Marie's grandfather and grandmother. They had owned this hillside, and eventually that became the property where the church was located. In 1951, they poured the basement for services. They began services in the basement downstairs. There was no upstairs. It was just the basement to begin with. Margaret Cushman described it as they pushed wheelbarrows to take the concrete to the various sections of the building. They worked nights and worked for a long time to get that all done. In 1956, work began on the upper stories of the church. And then the east wing over here in 1973 was built, and then the sanctuary and foyer were completely updated in 2021. Virginia said, we joined Branson Bible Church 60 years ago, and we grew in grace and knowledge of the truth. Marie, one of the things that she noted was that there were lots of babies who had grown up to be missionaries, and she was thankful for that. Incredible missions trips, such as the one to visit the Griffiths family in Venezuela, and Pastor Jeff was a high school kid at the time. So that was good remembrances for some of you who happened to have been there. And then they also went on a missions trip to the Havasupai tribe, who lived at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and did a vacation Bible school there with the Havasupai tribe, and a lot of other places also. We could spend a lot of time talking about the good things that we have observed the Lord doing in the fellowship of Branson Bible Church. God's hand of blessing has been evident over and over and over again. But our theme today is 75 years celebrating God's continued faithfulness, and it's taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. The text there says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in them." One should avoid preaching this text from Lamentations and giving the impression that it was all roses and nice things without pointing out that Lamentations is basically a funeral poem. You say, what? Yes, if you haven't read the context, Lamentations is indeed that. Many believe that these are the lamentations of Jeremiah as he sat opposite Jerusalem on a hillside and observed the wretched condition of the city at that time. Jeremiah has been called the weeping prophet since he first prophesied about Jerusalem's destruction in the book of Jeremiah, and then he described a firsthand look at the destruction after the crushing victory of the Babylonians. The Babylonians captured and sacked the city completely. It was decimated by the soldiers, and the mayhem they brought to the people was heart-wrenching. Perhaps something like the picture you see of war zones today on TV of Ukraine or Gaza or other places, with starvation and filth and death of myriads of family members and friends as well. I'm mentioning this because Lamentations 3, 22 and 3 means that God's love and mercies never failed, and his faithfulness remained sure throughout even the most intensive times of God's judgment on their city and on their nation. Let me pause here to make application to Branson Bible Church. I could tell you that everything has always been wonderful and sparkling, clean, uplifting, and a wonderful testimony of Jesus Christ at Branson Bible Church. I could tell you that everyone who ever attended or served or even preached here was perfect and grew to old age faithfully serving the Lord Jesus. But if I did, would I be telling the truth? I wouldn't be, would I? In fact, if you were here, you know that's true because you were here and I was here. But I'll list just a few things to remind those of you who were here and let you know if you were visiting that you're not visiting a perfect church. In fact, I challenge you to find one of those. Like every other church in the world, Branson Bible is not perfect. And I also asked my helpers, Virginia and Marie, to give me a list of bad things that they recalled from bygone days. Now, I will say they paused quite a long time after I said that, as if to say, huh? You're kidding. Why on earth would you want a list of the bad things? What's wrong with you? Well, Marie's comment first was, she said, my first husband, Wayne Barker, stood before the church before going to St. Louis for heart surgery and said, if the Lord is through with me on earth, I will go to be with him. He was taken as he was in surgery for 8 hours and 20 minutes, one of the early open heart surgeries. Marie lost a son, Brad, as a young man to a car wreck. One of her daughters, Lana, has also gone on in death. Virginia spoke of her husband, Daryl, her daughter, Pam, and her grandson, James, who have gone on in death. Fact is, I've preached 121 funerals since I came to Branson Bible Church. Now, if you're just new, don't leave just because of that. That was scattered over quite a number of years. That wasn't just in a 3-year period of time, so don't fear. Then other things happened, like breakups of families. And then we didn't technically have a church split in 1981 to 82, but the average Sunday school attendance dropped from 221 to 102 that year. Vicki Hess, our longtime secretary, commented how that each week when she had come during that period, she would look around to see who of our friends were missing. It was a bad time. It was not a pleasant time for those who were here. On one occasion over 40 years ago, the sheriff came and arrested an employee of the church while they were on the job. You say, woo, do I have that to look forward to? No, I hope not. Well, this gives new meaning, though, to the words in our text. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says the soul, and therefore I will hope in him. Now that changes the slant of that, doesn't it? Jeremiah was not going through fun times in this passage. He was not celebrating a 75th anniversary and telling just the good things that were going on because it was a very difficult time for him. The faithfulness of the Lord is sure in difficult times as well as enjoyable times. So this morning, four sources of hope from the faithfulness of God. Before we consider these sources of hope from our faithful God, I would like to point out just a bit about how this book is written, kind of a unique style. As I've already said, the book of Lamentations is written in Hebrew poetry, and with 4 out of the 5 chapters being what are called acrostics. You may not use that term very often unless you're an English major. Basically, it's like this. Chapter 1. All the verses would begin with the first with the letter of the alphabet. Like if it were English, the first verse would begin with an A, the second verse would begin with a B, the third verse would begin with a C, except it'd be used in Hebrew letters, Aleph, Beth, and Gimel. That'd be a little bit strange, wouldn't it, for you to recite your alphabet that way. So chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4 are acrostics. They each have 22 verses coinciding with each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 3 is, I don't think this is technically correct, but it's a triple acrostic in that verses 1, 2, and 3 would begin with an A, 4, 5, and 6 would begin with a B. So it would be an acrostic, but kind of an expanded one. It has 66 verses, and no, we're not going to speak on all 66 verses this morning. So Chapter 5 is not an acrostic, but it's still Hebrew poetry with 22 verses in it. So I thought you might find that bit about the chapters interesting, perhaps. You may forget it tomorrow afternoon, but that's okay. First of all, the first of the sources of hope from the faithfulness of God is that his love never ceases. It says in verse 21, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." To give you a sense of Jeremiah's condition, listen to these verses beginning at verse 21. Verse 14. Jeremiah said, "I have become the laughingstock of all people, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood," which was a bitter herb. "He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." I believe the this that he speaks of there in verse 21 that brought hope to Jeremiah was what he was about to reveal, and that is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That gives us hope as we realize that his love never ceases. It's been really bad, but Jeremiah could see the light of day because he knew that the love of God never ceases. Hope in the Bible is not generally used the way we often use it. How do we generally use it? Well, kids, you generally use the word hope. I hope I get a new what for Christmas? You fill in the blank. New bicycle, new doll, or whatever it is you're hoping for. That hope is not a sure hope, unless you're on the inside track and you already know what they already got you because you found it in the closet. I know you would be above that, of course, but that's not the kind of hope that the Bible speaks of, the hope-so kind of hope. Rather, the term here, hope, is used of expectation, which for the believer is linked with faith and trust and results in patient waiting. This hope drowns out our troubles, is the solid ground of expectation for the righteous, and as such, it is directed toward God. And remember, the psalmist commands, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. That's a whole lot different than hoping for Christmas presents, isn't it? As your hope, your fixed confidence is on the Lord, you can depend on him no matter what. He is dependable. Verse 22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's a pretty incredible thought for a man in Jeremiah's position. Sure, he was confident when he was celebrating great victories and wonderful times in Israel, but he vividly remembered that God's love wasn't put on pause when the tough times came along. So he was confident in him when things were good, but he didn't stop losing his confidence when things were not so good. The word love here is not the usual one in the Old Testament. It is the word hesed, which means kindness or loving kindness. Mercy and similar words are used in King James. RSV as translated as steadfast love, occasionally as loyalty, but I like the New American Standard term loving kindness. The Lord's great love abides even in times of trouble and divine judgment. God never stopped loving Israel despite his discipline of them. The Hebrew word translated great love that this individual says is used about 250 times in the Old Testament. It refers to love, of course, but encompasses elements of grace, mercy, goodness, forgiveness, compassion, and faithfulness. It's God's great love for his people that spared them from being utterly destroyed by the Babylonians. I think any other time in history that anybody's been devastated like that, they have oftentimes gone out of existence as far as a nation. As far as we know from, but we do know from history, that God later restored his people to their land and blessed them again. Intellectually, Jeremiah knew for sure that God hadn't stopped loving him and loving Israel, but for both he and Israel right then, it didn't feel like it. It didn't feel like God still loved them as they were being clobbered by the Babylonians. Actually, it had already taken place as Lamentations was being written. Throughout Branson Bible Church's 75 years, this fellowship has been privileged to hear many excellent speakers. We've had several presidents and professors of Bible colleges, heads of mission boards, directors of our larger fellowship, IFCA International. We've had missionaries from all over the world, authors, and on the list goes. During those times with really outstanding speakers and the like, you may have felt like the Lord really loved you. But friends, God's love is not diminished by bad times. He doesn't love you less when you're experiencing difficulties. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he doesn't leave off loving you when things are difficult? He doesn't love you any less when you're besieged by the doldrums of COVID than he did when you were delighting in the salvation of your children. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I like the way one other author says it. God hasn't given us lightweight promises that are only good in small trials. He has given us unbreakable promises that are good for even the darkest of trials. Expect that your life may fall apart. Express the pain to God, but then count on his character and in his promises that will not change even when you cannot see it. There'll be times when you can't see, it doesn't look like that he still loves you, maybe, because of a situation in your life. He does still love you. He isn't loving you any less than he did prior to that time. Virginia Ledbetter reminded me that her husband, Daryl, loved teaching his adult Sunday school class. You didn't have to sit in on many classes to know that he was an excellent teacher, did an excellent job, and plus he was an outstanding storyteller, one of my favorite Ozark storytellers. However, do you suppose the Lord loved Daryl any more when he was teaching Sunday school than he did when Daryl was fighting with pneumonia for about the fourth or fifth time before the Lord took him home? He didn't love him any less then. He loved him both when things were going well and enjoyably, and then when they were not going so well. Marie's husband, Wayne, also taught the adult Sunday school class. I don't know that that's that's a negative for teaching adult Sunday school class. Did God love Wayne any less when he took him home to heaven during his heart surgery? No. The Lord's love never ceases, or for that matter, it never decreases. It stays the same. The term that's used there for ceases from a concept of being used up. It was sometimes used for people's money. Their money would cease. It was used up. Takes on the meaning of come to close or cease as of a year. The year is finished out. God's love doesn't get like that. It doesn't close up. It doesn't come to a stopping point. It continues on and on. Secondly, the second source of hope from the faithfulness of God is that his mercies never stop. But this I call to mind, he said, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And then he moves to mercies. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. In addition to God's love, Jeremiah was reminded of God's mercies that never come to an end. We commonly make a comparison of love and mercy this way. Love is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Gets that? Most of you have heard it before. Love is God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is him not giving us what we do deserve. Note on the term mercy often refers to the strong tie God has with those whom he has called his children. His mercy and forgiveness toward his people in the face of deserved judgment and upon the condition of their repentance can be readily observed. So you see that God's mercy demonstrated in the New and the Old Testament, time after time after time again, and in our lives as well. When the time comes that you are feeling besieged on every hand, consider the character of your God. He is not an uncaring tyrant who considers you as nothing more than a social security number. Do you think God might say to you, oh, I see John, and you can put your own name in there. I see John there having really tough times, but it's okay. He'll get over it. Doesn't matter much. He cares for you in the ups and downs of life. He cares for Branson Bible Church in the ups and downs of life as well. And if you should happen to be worrying that there is an expiration date on God extending his mercy to you, you can forget that idea. The text says, his mercy never comes to an end. There's no expiration date on God's mercy toward us. His mercies are new every morning in that they are perpetual and they are always available to those in need. Another author says, we have our ups and downs and even youth grow tired and weary, Isaiah 40:30. But God is faithful through it all. With the dawn of each day comes a new batch of compassion made freshly available for us. God's compassion is poured out from an infinite store. His mercies will never run out. Some mornings we get up on the wrong side of the bed, but even there we find God's mercies awaiting us. Well, it may seem like there are periods of life, of your life and mine, when God's mercy is in short supply. It only seems that way. It definitely has not run out. It is evident each morning. God is merciful in allowing us another day, another week, Some of you maybe have been through some painfully traumatic times. Maybe you had a car wreck and could have easily slipped into eternity. Perhaps you were incredibly ill and thought you would not live another day, but God intervened. His mercies are new every day, and they keep on coming, and they keep on coming. And the truth is, if you should die during some of those difficult times, the Lord will then demonstrate his mercy to you even more. He will take you immediately to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I call mercy, don't you? He goes, demonstrates mercy to us all our lives, and then when we die, his mercy continues. It doesn't stop. It continues forevermore, time without end. Third source of hope from the faithfulness of God, his faithfulness is great. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a familiar phrase. Why is it so familiar? Well, many of you are familiar with the song, Great is thy faithfulness. And no, I don't have the ability that Jeff does to break out in song. Sorry. You would be sorry too. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness, they all witness together, to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. I was curious about Thomas Chisholm, who wrote that song. Did some reading about him. At 16, he became a school teacher. He was an associate editor for his newspaper, became that at 26. He became a believer in Jesus Christ when he was 36. He became a believer when he was 26, and he became a pastor or a minister at the age of 36. The text said that he believed that God had allowed certain difficulties in his life for the glory of God and the good of others. His words encourage us. Having been led for part of my life, he said, through some difficult paths, I have sought to gather from such experiences material out of which to write hymns of comfort and cheer for those similarly circumstances. No doubt it was in this heart that gave us the marvelous hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in 1923. You mean God was faithful in 1923? Well, we've been reading about Jeremiah a few millennia earlier, and God was faithful then, and he's still faithful even today in 2025. Ultimately, Chisholm was forced to leave the ministry due to poor health, and he began selling life insurance insurance during the last of his life. However, during those years and into his retirement, his love for encouraging hymns and poems never abated. He wrote more than 1,200 poems, 800 of which appeared in religious periodicals. A large portion were used in hymn lyrics. You know, it's true that Thomas Chisholm didn't go through the siege of Jerusalem that we've been reading about, but he did experience some hard times. There are times when he was downcast, wondering what the Lord was going to do to lift life's burden from him. But even in the difficulties, he borrowed Jeremiah's words, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. The startling fact about this announcement is that it was made, the one that we were reading in the text, that is, it was made against one of the bleakest backgrounds in the Old Testament. It would be as if somebody had stood up in one of the prison camps of the Third Reich in World War II and announced, Great is thy faithfulness. Would have seemed ludicrous to the other people there. But Jeremiah was fully convinced and knew that his God was faithful even in that. Should it be that you're not yet convinced that God is faithful all the time, Let me read for you some key verses in Scripture. I'm not going to read the whole things. I just want to read some phrases to refresh your memory about God's faithfulness. Exodus 34, 6, he is abounding in love and, next word, faithfulness. He is a faithful God. You established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Your faithfulness surrounds you. Let's go to the New Testament. That's just a few. John 17, 3, he is the only true God. Is a true God faithful? Absolutely. He speaks the truth. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful. 1 John 1, 9, he is faithful. 1 John 5, 20, he who is true. These verses, when taken together, establish that God's faithfulness is not some minor or secondary part of God's character. To say that God is faithful goes to the core of who God really is. He keeps his word, because if he didn't, he wouldn't be God. He is God, and part of his character is that he is faithful. Pritchard continues, Ray Pritchard, when you are discouraged, remember God's faithfulness. When you doubt your salvation, remember God's faithfulness. When you're tempted to sin, remember God's faithfulness. When you've made a mess of your life, remember God's faithfulness. When you feel unequal to your tasks, do what? Remember God's faithfulness. Think of some of the ways the Lord is described in the Scripture. He's described as the rock of protection, the refuge in time of trouble, the tower of safety, the shelter for the oppressed, the helper, the shield, the savior, the shepherd, the protector, the peace. It's quite a list. I think we can count on him, don't you? And he is faithful in demonstrating each of those characteristics in our lives on a regular basis. Finally, then, fourth, his care produces hope. God's care produces hope in us. It says in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. So even though Jeremiah found himself looking at a hopeless situation, he was confident that God had his best interest at heart, in spite of the fact that it didn't look like it and it didn't feel like it at that particular time. What did he mean by saying the Lord is my portion? Well, we probably don't talk about that too often, unless you're talking about dinner and saying, you got the biggest portion of the pie today. What's the deal? Portion speaks or can be translated as share or tract or territory. It was commonly used of parceling out shares of land, whether by inheritance or otherwise. This relationship with God and people was defined in a spiritual concept, the Lord is my share. The Lord is the portion of his people, just as he is their refuge and their sufficiency. Because God is my portion, I choose to hope in him. Jeremiah uses the same word as he did in verse 21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I have hope because God is my portion. I have hope because his love never ends. I have hope because his mercies never cease. And I have hope because he is completely faithful. When Pastor Leonard Felton gathered that original group of 14 people in the community building in Branson, Missouri on a Thursday, January the 19th, 1950, for a planning meeting, they had no idea what would lie ahead in the next 75 years. Not a clue. Didn't have any idea. Leonard had no idea he would remain the pastor at Branson Bible for a couple years before Pastor A.E. Van Clay would come for about a year. And then Leonard would come become the interim pastor after that. And then a couple of fellows were there in the interim there. And then after Pastor Clare was here for 29 years, ending in 1985, Leonard would become interim pastor again before Patty and I came as pastor and wife 39 years ago. Then God would lead again, and Pastor Jeff and Claudia, formerly our youth pastor and assistant, would become senior pastor in 2015 till today, 2025. It's pretty amazing. Doesn't seem like you've been here that long, Pastor Jeff. And all the while, the Lord has remained faithful, even when we may not have always been ourselves to him. good times and bad times, he was there for us. I'd like to close with a personal example of God's faithfulness and the comfort it brings. In November 2020, I found myself beginning to feel real lousy one afternoon. I coughed all the time. I quit being able to smell and taste things. Sound familiar? Does to some of you, doesn't it? It didn't get much better that evening because Patty took my O2 in the afternoon and discovered that it was in the 70s. She had happened to be talking on the phone to our oldest son, Ryan, at that time, and Ryan said, "It's time to take Dad to the hospital." Evidently, that's what she did, although I don't remember it. We headed to Cox Hospital in Branson with me having multiple COVID symptoms. About the only thing I remember that day is that I don't remember anything. Even people I would have known at the hospital, I didn't remember that I saw them. It was a very critical time for me as I was moved to CCU. Found out later, looked at an x-ray, and my lungs looked like they had spider webs in them. As I was lying on my bed in a room by myself, because no visitors were allowed, I do recall thinking, one of the few things I remember, "Well, Lord, what's it going to be? It all comes down to these moments as far as my earthly life is concerned, because I'm convinced that I'm either going to live or I'm going to die in the next few hours." Well, I lived. I know that's a shock to you. I thought only briefly about my 70 years of life at that point, what God had blessed me with, a wonderful wife, kids, grandkids, extended family, terrific church family that loved and cared for me, friends from all over the world, a great ministry opportunity of teaching God's word for over 40 years, 70 years of relatively good health with hardly a hiccup, living in a nice house in a wonderful town in a great part of the country, having access to top-notch health care in our local CCU. You know, I was convinced that whatever, I was confident in the Lord. I'd never had occasion to think that my life was about to end. Some of you have had those times. But I recall having the peace of God that passes all understanding at that time. The next morning when I woke up, I did wake up here, not in heaven. I was on the mend and began feeling better and better. Soon I was released, ironically, to have a relapse of COVID not long after that. But when I got home, there was a whole gang of grandkids out front and all over the front yard. Yes, I've got that many grandkids. All over the yard shouting, "Welcome home, Grandpa!" Pretty tearful time. Then when I got to church that Sunday, I was further reminded of God's faithfulness as I saw many of you who had been praying for me, and they had given me a steroid shot, and it made me not only talk nonstop, but it also made me very emotional. So I was welcome to Patty's world. When I walked in, you clapped and I cried. When they sang a song, I cried. When they prayed, I cried. Shoo! I became the weeping preacher, I guess, at that time. But our God is faithful. He is faithful when we are faithful, and when we're not, he's faithful then as well. As the prophet Jeremiah said, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, and therefore I will hope in him." For 75 years, God has been faithful to Branson Bible Church and each one of you who have been a part of it. And on the basis of God's word, we can be assured that he's going to continue to be faithful to his own forever, time without end, because that is the essential nature of the Lord our God. Great is his faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. There may be some here this morning who are wrestling with that right now, going through difficult times, whether mental or physical things that have come in their life. We thank you that you're faithful, and we pray that you will impress them with that fact this morning from your word, that you've told us, you've assured us, that God is faithful. Jeremiah echoed that in his writing that was brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. Great is your faithfulness. Help us to remember that this week, this month, and for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
I may not be the weeping prophet, but I am a sappy pastor. I am so grateful to God for his faithfulness to this church family. I'm grateful to God for Rich and Patty. Grateful to God for so many of you. The evidence of his faithfulness to you and through you. What a rich blessing it is to get to be a part of that. And listen, remember, we're just a tiny little piece of what God is doing. We're just individuals who know that God is weaving his story of love and grace and faithfulness and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ to the people he is making for his own possession, and we are just a little piece of that picture. What a rich blessing it is to know the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Rich, for faithfully preaching the text. If you don't know this faithful God, we invite you to repent of your sin and trusting in self and to put your faith only in the Lord Jesus Christ to be right with God. It's the single most important thing you will do, not only in the brief time that you call your lifetime, but for all eternity. Would you come to this faithful God on his terms, which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for humbling us and for teaching us to trust in you. God, we thank you for the constant reminders when we say, stay submissive to the authority of your word. We are constantly reminded of your goodness and your faithfulness, God. You are our rock. There is no other true and living God but you. And so we thank you for the rich blessing of being knitted together in the story of what you are doing through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you are such a good and awesome and faithful God, that you are doing much more than just what we can see and perceive. But we know it's true, and we're thankful that we get to trust in you, a faithful God. May you richly bless and encourage, God. Give us forgiveness toward one another. God, give us courage for the days ahead. And once again, God, humble us, so that you can do in us and through us what it is that pleases you. In Christ's name, we ask these things with our hope firmly fixed in you. Amen.